The value of life for, fortunately, most is an absolute, yet there are those who want to make it, let's call it selective, with personal convenience being a major deciding factor. It's that priority of personal convenience which has resulted in millions of babies being killed by abortion. As we've come to learn over the past few months, Planned Parenthood, which is one of the biggest abortion proponents, urged abortions not for the life and rights of a mother, but to further line their pockets, and as if federal funding was that they received wasn't enough for them. Here to discuss how the actions of the pro-abortion zealots will be responded to over these next couple of weeks and further and beyond through the election year is the National Director of Priests for Life, whose latest book is Abolishing Abortion, Father Frank Provone. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
And good Father has a variety of websites associated with his current work and campaigns. We've linked to them all over at our website. The one I'll give to you right now, which is easier to remember, priestsforlife.org, and they'll get you to many of the other ones, too, that you'll see over at our website. So, Father, you recently held a press conference in D.C. to talk about and, I guess, maybe to the other side, give a fair warning to what the activities of Priests for Life are going to be for this election cycle. What were some of the points and points of focus that your organization is going to have in the coming days, weeks, and months?
Well, one of them, and it's reflected in the book you mentioned, Abolishing Abortion, is to activate the churches to be more active in the elections. And what we mean by that is not to make the church into a political party, but rather to make the church into more of what it's meant to be as the church. That is, bearing witness to the truth and activating people to make a change. So we're talking about registering voters, getting them to the polls when the voting starts, making use of early voting, which is in place in many states. And then, of course, educating them about the fact that among the many issues that voters need to consider, there's none more important than life itself. As you were saying, you know, the right to life is considered selective by many people. But if a politician can't respect the life of a little baby, how is he supposed to respect yours and mine? And so we're going to give this message very clearly to the churches, and we anticipate being able to mobilize not just thousands but millions of voters to vote pro-life.
The understanding by the layperson, and maybe that's the danger too by many of the church leaders, is that the separation of church and state has been twisted around to where the church stays out of the state, where the original intent was the other way around. Read Jefferson's notes and Madison's notes, you would understand that for you listening. But how much has the church been silenced out of intimidation through courts and through the opponents and the various means that they've tried to execute?
Well, the word you use is very appropriate, but, you know, by my assessment, the limitations on the church have been mostly imposed by the church herself rather than by the state. And that happens when we start thinking that, oh, we're going to lose our tax exemption if we speak up about politics. You know, the law is very, very limited in this arena. It says that we cannot intervene in a political race. So I can't go into the pulpit and say, you know, vote for John Smith or vote against Joe Smith. But short of saying that or taking up a collection for their campaign, I'm certainly free as a pastor. The church is certainly free as an institution to teach the moral implications of political issues, such as abortion. We're not only free to do that, we're bound to do that by the very nature of who we are. The church, you know, very often we see memos coming out, and I document this in my book, Abolishing Abortion. We see memos coming out where they say, oh, well, you can't, you know, don't hand out any voters' guides, or you can't be saying anything that might seem to favor one or another candidate. Well, of course our message is going to favor one or another candidate. If it's a pro-life message, it's going to favor the pro-life candidate. That doesn't mean we're endorsing them. That doesn't mean we're becoming a political machine. Again, it just means that we're doing our job as the church to pass judgment. And the Second Vatican Council said this, to pass judgment even in matters relating to politics when the fundamental rights of people require it. So we got to. Our message is simple. Let's stop censoring ourselves. Let's step up to the plate and exercise our religious freedom and duties.
Well, Father Frank Provone, who is the head of Priests for Life, priestsforlife.org is their website. Abolishing Abortion is his new book, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. What was the reaction to your organization by the edict from Pope Francis for over the course of this one-year period to offer, some say, a forgiveness. I believe the Pope's choice of words were absolution to any woman who has an abortion, because, again, the pro-abortion people say, well, okay, well, we know Catholics, you go to confession, you say, forgive me, Father, I have sinned. They tell you 15 Hail Marys, and you go out and do it again. That's not the idea of absolution.
No, absolution is based on repentance, which means we totally reject the wrong that we have done, and we resolve not to do it again. And of course, we all know that people are weak. We all repeat our sins, not because we want to, but because we're weak, and so that's why we can go again and again. But the message was received very well. We're in this Jubilee Year of Mercy, as the Catholic Church has called it, and we actually at Priests for Life. And people will see this on our website, as you mentioned, all the different ministries. One of the biggest ones is called Rachel's Vineyard, and that's where we've been working constantly throughout the world to provide that forgiveness, that absolution, that mercy to those who have participated in abortion and then have turned away from it and turned back to the Lord. So we were very happy when this Year of Mercy was proclaimed, because it helps our work very much. Pope Francis, in fact, has personally expressed support for our work. I've had the pleasure of meeting him a number of times. And he, of course, wants to see all of us who are against abortion make it very clear that those of us who oppose abortion do not oppose those that have had abortions. And I'm sure there are some listening right now who may have had involvement with abortion. We're on your side. We're not against you, and we want you to experience the peace and the mercy that come from God.
And regarding abortion, in the next couple of weeks, as I alluded to in the introduction, there is a variety of events taking place. The March for Life rally down in D.C. on the 22nd, that'll be at noon. The National Prayer and Protest rally outside of Planned Parenthood on the 21st. There's the official March for Life youth rally also on the 21st, National Memorial for the Preborn and Their Mothers and Fathers on the 22nd. And the Silent No More Awareness campaign, which I came to learn about through my friend Jennifer O'Neill, has been a strong supporter of the pro-life movement. That also is on January 22nd. When you look at these events, Father, each and every year it seems like more and more people are coming out in support. The fact that there's a youth rally in this idea and this point of concern bodes well for the next generation, at least that's my belief. What does it do for you when you see the hundreds, the thousands, and in many cases the tens of thousands that come out and say, we support life?
Well, first of all, it reminds me of how I got involved, because it was precisely at the March for Life as a teenager myself that I was awakened to the whole issue of abortion. But then beyond that, it also tells us something else. The reason why so many of these young people are involved is that they realize that they are survivors. When you think about it, when they were in the womb themselves, they were not protected. And now they've come to realize that. As they've grown up and understood what abortion is. And so this speaking up for the unborn takes on a very deep personal dimension for these hundreds of thousands of young people that will be out marching on the 22nd. Personal dimension in as much as they are saying, I'm not only speaking up for the babies in the womb today, I'm speaking up for myself. Because when I was in the womb, I was a person, I deserved protection. And I didn't have it, but I want to demand it now for my brothers and sisters. And many of them are also aware that they've lost siblings from abortion. They've lost friends. They've lost a lot by this abortion tragedy.
We have a time with Father Frank Pavone, head of Priest for Life, author of the book Abolishing Abortion, priestforlife.org. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Another date this month of note for the pro-life movement, Father, is January 26th. That's the date when the House of Representatives has planned to vote to override Barack Obama's veto of the defunding of Planned Parenthood. Of course, I refer to the videos from the Center for Medical Progress in the introduction, and who now Planned Parenthood is suing, by the way. So as facts are prone to come out in court, that might be a mistake that Planned Parenthood is going to live to regret. But what are your hopes, and what efforts will your organization be making with the House of Representative members leading up to that January 26th veto override?
Well, of course, we're encouraging them to vote the right way on this, and many of them will. We are working closely also with the members of Congress who are part of the new panel that has been formed the Select Panel on Infant Lives, it's called, and they will continue to probe what's going on at Planned Parenthood and also throughout the abortion industry. We're also going to be asking the people throughout the country, and I'm sure many of our listeners will be hearing about this, to express their support for the work of those in Congress who are going to continue investigating Planned Parenthood. We've only really scratched the surface. We were involved in this whole effort with the videos, and we've been involved in other undercover operations because it's in exposing the abortion industry, and I also make this point in my new book. It's in exposing it to the air of to the light of day, and to the conscience of America that we get people to reject it. This evil continues because it's hidden, and yet when it is seen, when we rip the veil off it, many more people come to reject it. That's why we had this successful vote to defund Planned Parenthood, and there will be other votes too, and this is very important. As in the months to come, we're going to see legislation about protecting babies, especially in the later stages of pregnancy, because that's where we've got the most support right now, both in the public and in the Congress, to pass laws to start protecting them. And then, of course, we'll continue to work until all these children are protected without exception.
His new book is Abolishing Abortion. He is the National Director of Priest for Life. PriestForLife.org is their website. Learn more about this issue. And more importantly, once you learn about the seriousness of your issue, you will give your involvement to the fight in this issue. Father Frank Pavone, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you for having me.